He found unity, and we're always interested in that question, aren't we? How'd you get here? He found unity through studying the mystics and Ralph Waldo Emerson. That's a new one. Prior to joining Unity South, he was an active member of Christ Unity Church in Collinsville, Illinois. He is currently employed at St. Joseph's Hospital in St. Charles as manager of respiratory care and pulmonary services. Gee, your life hasn't been difficult lately, has it? He's currently working on completing his Unity Spiritual Education and Enrichment classes so they can he can move forward on his path to become a licensed Unity teacher or Unity minister. Tim says, my happy spot is reading a good book with my mini golden doodle Zoe on my lap and a hot cup of coffee in my hand. Sounds good to me. Now that's what's on paper, and here's what I know. I've had the pleasure of taking several classes with Tim in them, and what I know of Tim is that he is a very insightful person, and a compassionate and caring classmate. So I am looking. Do you know how hard it is to keep from hugging you this morning, Tim? I welcome you. Welcome, Tim.
There, now you can see me. And hopefully I can see you as I put these glasses on. So, good morning, Church of Light. So, it is really a Church of Light here. I love your sanctuary. I have to say that each time I come here and I see the light radiating through, but I also see the light radiating from within you to the without, to everyone that I've experienced through Unity Church of Light. So, I wanted to begin to express my gratitude, of course, this morning to your spiritual leader, Vernetta Holmes, for the opportunity to share with you. And I've had the privilege, as Pat has said, to have several of you as classmates over the past couple of years. You've shared your gifts with me, and you constantly contribute to my spiritual unfolding. As we begin this morning today, and Lewis, you were on it, brother. You were on it. So I am sometimes... So I began my spiritual journey in the Church of the Nazarene. And from the Church of the Nazarene, I went Pentecostal for a while. And after going Pentecostal, I ended up going to a Catholic seminary, Aquinas Institute, and then came Unity. But really what led me to Unity was three individuals who I met. And those three individuals who I knew for quite a period of time were remarkable individuals. And I didn't really know what it was about them that made them so remarkable. And then I found out they were part of this group and this movement called Unity. And there was something that was coming from within them, radiating without, that drew me. And that's beginning how I began my experience of Unity. So this morning, I felt like the scriptures, I'm a Bible person, so I will let you know that sometimes the Bible speaks to me, through me, and as me. I'm not afraid of the Old Testament. I love the New Testament. I love the Old Testament. And I was sitting there, and in this experience this morning, I was going to Acts chapter 2. Now, this isn't in my notes, by the way. But I was going to Acts chapter 2, and it said, and when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one accord. And that's what I'm feeling this morning. Because as Lewis played the videos, we didn't talk beforehand. They saw a sermon title. And I almost feel like I could sit down and go home and you all would have had church already today because the connectedness that is present today, today, in this moment, in this place, we are here in unity. We are here with a shared consciousness. Do you feel it this morning? I feel it, and I thank you for that. So I'd like to just begin by taking a deep breath in and just breathing in the allness of God, knowing that in this time and in this place, we are enveloped in divine love. We exhale and let go of anything that would hinder us from receiving what is meant for us to receive, and we know all is well. So my friend Tom, he loved hiking, and there was nothing more he enjoyed than to get up in the morning and get his body moving. You like to get your body moving? Who's a routine? You got a routine for getting that body moving in the morning, right? So Tom loved to get his body moving. And living in the desert at the base of a mountainous region, every morning he had the opportunity to go for a wonderful hike. So before he'd have his breakfast, he would just get up, get his boots on, get dressed, and up the mountain he would go. He would set out on the hike. And as Pat had said, today's a beautiful day for a hike. So this particular morning was a beautiful morning for Tom to go on the hike. So Tom started up the mountain, and enamored by the beauty of the morning, Tom began to move faster and faster, just striding along. You ever have a zippity-doo-dah morning? So Tom was having a zippity-doo-dah morning, and he's moving along, and he's feeling, and he's breathing in that fresh mountain air, and he's going higher and higher. And before long, he's so distracted, he didn't realize he was getting closer and closer to the edge. And in one swoop moment, Tom fell off the edge of the mountain. And as these stories go, or as these jokes go, right, Tom immediately reached out and he grabbed a hold of the limb protruding from the side of the mountain. You got the visual? All right, so he's hanging on for dear life. And then Tom began to cry out, "Help! Is anybody up there?" And after a few minutes, Tom began to pray, "Dear Lord, somebody, if you get me out of this one." You ever pray a prayer like that? Immediately, Tom heard a booming voice and replied back, "I am here, Tom." And Tom said, "Is that you, God?" And the voice replied back, "It is I, the Lord, and I will help you." "Oh, thank you, Lord. What should I do?" The voice replied, "Let go of the branch." After a few moments of silence, Tom again cried out, "Is there anybody else up there?" So I think we've all had those Tom moments. Those moments when we ask ourselves the question, are we faced a situation where we had to find a strength, our reserve, to draw from as we navigate through both the blessings and the challenges of what it means to be alive? We have to go to this inner reserve of our spirit and ask ourselves, who are we? And who do I want to be? And who do I need to be in this moment? And in that moment, we find the question, and the answer and how we answer that question will determine our experience of the situation. Who do you think you are? Have you ever had someone ask you that question? I think most often when it's asked, it usually really isn't asked as a kind question, right? Have you ever experienced it where somebody really has asked that in a kind of a kind way? I think for the most part, when people ask that, it's kind of a challenge, right? Like, who are you? Who do you think you are? And for many years in my journey, so I am at St. Charles now, I am a respiratory care manager. For the past 14 years, I was the system leader for organizational development and training for SSM Health. And during that time, I taught a lot of different classes and workshops. And one of those that I taught was on interpersonal communication. And we often talked about pitch, tone, etc., intonation. And I often use this line. See if you can help me finish it. It's not what you say, it's there we go. So this morning, I'm going to change my tone. And I'm going to ask you to ponder the question, who do you think you are? And taking it one step further, who do you know yourself to be? So Charles Fillmore, one of the co-founders of Unity, stated in his book, Keeping a True Lent, God's greatest gift to man, and I tell you, I am a little political on the language, so I see we have a lot of women here today, so I don't exclude anyone. So Lewis, we're company here today. But God's greatest gift to humanity is the power of thought, through which he can incorporate into consciousness the mind of God. Wow, right? God's greatest gift to humanity is the power of thought, through which he can incorporate into his consciousness the mind of God. The mind of God. I can have the mind of God? Ponder it. Think about it. Or as this teacher, Vernetta Holmes, often says, sit with it. So I'll admit, reacting, I have to ask myself, why do I allow people or experiences to determine how I feel or act? I'll admit, reacting takes a lot less work than responding. It's much easier to react than to respond, right? However, I will say that correcting or repairing the damages that my reacting created is more work than I've ever enjoyed doing. Have you ever done something and thought, man, I wish I had just handled that in a little different way, and if only I had stopped for a minute? So I believe spirit speaks to us through dreams. You ever have a dream where spirit spoke to you? Maybe I'm just a little mystical that way. But spirit speaks to me in many ways, through friends, through people, through articles that I read, Lewis, through videos, through songs, spirit speaks. And not long ago, as I began this journey, because you can see my spiritual journey has been happening for 56 years, and I haven't arrived yet. I really thought I would have arrived by now, and I haven't arrived yet. But I had a dream, and I have what we call a 3 o'clock spirit speak notepad at the bedside. Anybody ever have one of those? So I have a pad of paper. People think, oh, that's your emergency phone call in case you get a call in the middle of the night. That's my emergency phone call from God paper when spirit speaks and I woke up at that spirit hour. And there's a lot of talk about 3 or 4 in the morning, by the way. If you ever do some work into the mystics, and there's this hour of the night where heaven and earth connect, and we talk about it's called the thin places, where the veil of heaven is opened. And in this particular moment and dream that I experienced, I just heard the voice. And the voice said, who are you waiting for permission from to be the person that I have declared you to be? And that question set a lot in motion for me. That's why I'm taking Unity classes. Because there is something that is awakened in me and declared a truth to my being of how I am choosing to react or to respond to life. So like I said, it takes a lot less energy to react than to respond, but the work of responding takes a lot more work. So I want to tell a little story about a situation I had. So I work for SSM Health. And one of the new things, we're big on onboarding new employees. Have you heard the word onboarding in your work world? That's how you welcome new employees, bring them aboard. So we decided that we were going to, any new employee that we had as a leader, we were going to take that employee to breakfast. So I decided we were going to the breakfast, and they hired a beautiful young woman, Jarell. And Jarell's probably going to watch me on this. So I got to say, shout out, Jarell. So Jarell, I was wanting to meet Jarell, and I wanted her to have a great first morning. And we were going to the Egg and I. That's out on Olive. So I'm zipping down Olive. The sun is shining. Beautiful day. Some of you may have heard this story if you know me. And we're zipping along, and I'm driving down Olive, sun is shining. All of a sudden, I see these flashing red lights behind me, right? And I'm looking back, and I'm like, wow, I wonder who this person's after, you know? And lo and behold, pulls up near me, and, you know, oh, it's me. I better pull over. So I haven't had a ticket in a long time, very long time. As a matter of fact, it was almost like a new experience. It's been so long. So he pulls me over, and he comes, and he says, sir, do you realize... first he said, where are you going? And I said, well, I'm going, and he saw me, I was dressed for work. You're going to work. I'm like, going to work, going to meet somebody for breakfast. He said, oh, I see. He said, do you realize you were going 55 in a 35-mile zone? And I said, no, sir, I didn't really realize that. And he says, hold on, driver's license, registration, right? So I'm sitting there, you know, getting all nervous and everything. But I'm like, Spirit's got me. Spirit's got this covered, right? So he comes back and he says, sir, I'm going to have to give you a citation. So I'm like, citation, is that like an award? You know, I mean, I didn't think that out loud, but I was like, that was a new term, you know? It wasn't like he was going to give me a ticket. He was going to give me a citation. So I'm sitting there, and here comes the ticket and the citation, and it's $155. So $155. Now, I'm driving to meet my new employee for breakfast. Right? So those little voices began to speak. And does anybody, I'm going to date myself, remember Flip Wilson? So a character, Geraldine, and would say, you know, the devil made me do it. Well, you know, those little voices began to speak, one on this shoulder, one on that shoulder. And the first little voice that began to speak to me was saying, you know, this is all Jarrell's fault. And I said, well, you would have already been in your office this morning if you hadn't to go out there to welcome her to breakfast and welcome her to the company. After all, when you started 35 years ago, who took you to breakfast? Right? The voices that speak to us, right? The stories we tell ourselves. Right? So a few minutes later, fortunately, the voice of truth also spoke. And it said, you're about to meet this young woman. Is this who you want her to experience? And I knew that wasn't who I wanted her to experience. So I found the king and I pulled on the parking lot, and I sat there quietly for just a few moments before I went in. And I went in, and I met her, and we had a great breakfast, great morning. And a little while later, I called my other half at home and said, how's your day going? And I said, well, it's been a great day. I've had a really delicious, great breakfast, and it only cost me $155. But it was a good morning. And I was able to bring forth the Christ of who I wanted to be, who I wanted to express, who I wanted Jarrell to experience in the moment. And we have a wonderful relationship because we got off on the right foot because we recentered in spirit. So this situation ended well, but what steps can we take to make sure that most situations that we encounter don't turn out to be catastrophes, but maybe opportunities for growth? So what are you thinking? Where are you placing your thoughts? Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are pure. So in order to become this person that I want to be, I call out the question again. Who do you think you are? And when I pause and I go to center stillness within, I go to center and remember and reply. Matter of fact, I not only think that I'm somebody special, I affirm that I am somebody special. So I took a class on emotional intelligence with a lady by the name of Evie Varner at Washington University. And Evie began her class by asking, on a scale of 1 to 10, and I'll ask you this morning, on a scale of 1 to 10, how many of you would rate yourself a 10? Raise your hand. If you were a 10, would you raise your hand? Okay. Now, this is kind of going to the class all over again. Not many people are raising their hand, right? So Evie raised her hand and I raised mine. Because in this time and in this place and in this moment, right here in the heart of St. Charles on this Sunday morning, not one of you are me, and I am not you. I cannot be you. I cannot express as you. All I can express is as me and who I am meant to be in the moment. And a former pastor that who I sat under had a great little thing. Each week we had a signed affirmation, a little card, scripture card. And for many years that was on my bathroom mirror every morning. And on the morning when I woke up and all this began, this all happened during COVID, by the way, it all turned gray overnight. And the wrinkles begin to come, and the hair begins to lose, and I've gained weight, and I'm looking at this person who I barely recognize anymore. I look up, and I see the scripture, which says, "For you are fearfully and wonderfully made." I'm a 10, right? You are a 10. We affirm the truth of our being, and the truth of my being is rooted in the confidence of the truth I know. Think of that first video that Lewis played. Who does God say you are? Do you say the same about yourself? Well, there are three things that I have come to know as my truth. And the knowing of these three things have helped me to know myself. And Pat, like I said, you've kind of given us this message already this morning. It's been phenomenal, phenomenal. Because the first thing I know is omnipresence as the truth. God is, I am. There is one presence and one power in the universe and in my life, God the good omnipotence. Regardless of what I see on social media, regardless of what I hear in the news, the ultimate and absolute reality, there's one power, one presence, and I am one with the presence that is. This is my truth. This is your truth. I love it the way that Eric Butterworth said it. You are the very activity of God in expression. Say that one again. You are the very activity of God in expression. And as our blessed Mother Teresa, thank you, my Catholic days, I love Mother Teresa, Christ has no hands in the world but yours. Christ has no feet in the world but yours. Right? We are the presence of Christ made visible in expression in the world in which we live. And in this stillness, because we're still there, give me some tools this morning, right? So our first tool is to recognize the omnipresence of God. That wherever you are, God is. He is there when you get a cancer diagnosis. He is there when you get the news that you've made it through your radiation. He is there at the birth of a child. He is there at the transition of a loved one into eternity. God is, I am. And we are there together. So God is, I am. I set my intention to remember the words of Jesus, the way shower. The works that I do, you shall also do, and greater works than these. Wow. Jesus is our way shower. And in that he has revealed to us the divine potential of humankind. He has showed us what is possible. And this is the tape that I now play over and over again as I tell the narrative of my life. And it's interesting that I would ask each of you, you know, if you had to tell your story, and they used to watch CBS Sunday Morning. I love that show. Anybody ever watch that? It's kind of right before church time. And they used to have a segment where they would go to different towns and they would put a map up. And they may go with these darts, and they blindfold somebody, they take a dart, and they throw the dart, and wherever it land in St. Louis, and they get a phone book out from St. Louis, and they open up, and Pat, they might pick your name, and they show up at your house, and they say, so what's your story? You see, everybody has a story, right? So what I'm telling you today, that Jesus, the way shower, came to help us write our story. He came to help us make our story a divine story, to reach that place of divinity within ourselves. So my narrative is, I am a child of God, made in the likeness and image of God. And I not only tell this story about myself now, this is where my growth in unity has come. I tell my story this about you. And I'm talking about you who wouldn't let me over into the left lane when I was trying to get on the highway. I am talking about you who bumped physically into my cart in the grocery store. I'm talking about you who took that last parking space at Walmart, right? I tell myself the same story about you that I'm telling myself. You are a child of God, made in the image of God. Those who disagree with me, those who think similarly, you are all children of God, made in the divine image. So my first tool is to know the omnipresence of God. The second tool is to know the divinity of all of us. God is, I am. I will remember that in every moment, I am being transformed by the renewing of what?
Anybody know that? Of my mind.
Romans 12:2. And from Butterworth, we renew our mind by changing our thoughts. If you're thinking something that's not working for you, why do you keep thinking it? Did you ever think about that? So I am a member of the club. Do you know what the club is? A friend of Bill. So my name is Tim, and I'm codependent. 12-step process. So I lived a lot of my life trying to please other people and doing a lot of things to get other people to approve of me. I was going to make you love me, right? But one of the things that I took from that, I love the analogy of the street. So you walk down a street and you fall in a hole. Wow, not a fun experience. So you walk down the street, next day, the same street, you fall in the same hole. The next day, you said, well, I'm aware that there's a hole, so I'm going to at least be aware of it, and maybe you walk around it. But you still, it takes a lot of your energy just to kind of keep walking around it, right? So finally, you change it, your thoughts, and you say, guess what? I'm not walking down that street anymore. The power of thought. So, and these are the direct words of Butterworth. So let me give some attribution to Butterworth. These are your thoughts, and your thoughts are going to determine the kind of conditions you experience in your life. Your thoughts set your own evaluation. In a very real sense, your thoughts determine what you become and the way others see you. For life is always lived from the within to the without. And a quote by Elsie Robinson there. And Sarah, I think I may have heard you say this, and it's really jumped out at me. Things may happen around you and things may happen to you, but the only thing that really counts are the things that happen in you. I have power over my words. This is who I am. As one of my favorite spiritual teachers, that's how I always introduce you, Vernetta, by the way. One of my favorite spiritual teachers, Vernetta Holmes, says, when you know what you know, I know God is omnipresent. I know that I am made in the image of God. I know that I have power over my thoughts. Christian scripture. 1 Corinthians 13. Anybody know that chapter just by the address? What's that chapter about? Love. So 1 Corinthians 13 and verses 10 through 12. And I'm kind of paraphrasing a little bit. But it talks about, the chapter is about love and about how love as it unfolds and as we come to this realization of what love really is. Because there's a lot of deception out there about what love is. But 1 Corinthians 13 paints such a beautiful picture of what love is and how we should live into love. And verses 10 and 12 of 1 Corinthians tells us, but when the perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be put away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child, but when I became a man, when I became an adult, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. And now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I am known. How am I known? I'm known in love. I say this, as the video says, and you say that. But today, I want to affirm with you that you begin to speak those words over yourself. The words that our divine Father, Mother speak over you. What I know about and what I love about unity is the practicality of its teaching. When truth becomes embodied, it moves from mind to heart and heart to manifestation. We are called forth into the dance of co-creation. We express as presence, intention, and energy. And the energy we know as life and love. God is, I am. So Butterworth, most of this content today came from a really great article called Truth in a Nutshell by Eric Butterworth, if you want to follow up on that. But Butterworth describes these three concepts: omnipresence, the divinity of man, and the creative power of thought is truth in a nutshell. So this morning, as I bring the message part to a close, I invite you to embrace the truth of your being. Who do you say that you are? Who do you say that we are? This morning I affirm with you that we are love, we are wholeness, we are light, we are a city on a hill, and we are students of truth, and we know that there is a power for good in the world, and we can use it. May it be so. And I think it is our tradition here that we now reflect on the Lord's Prayer. And together, again, thank you for this morning. Let's just take a moment as we center on the oneness that this prayer declares for us, the truth of that, the one, of our one family, our one consciousness. So let's just breathe in for just a second together. Spirit, we're thankful for the love that you have declared in our lives. We're thankful for the tools and the affirmations that you give us to journey through the challenges and the joys of this human existence. We now breathe in consciousness of the Christ. We exhale the consciousness of the Christ pouring over our communities, our families, and our world. We know that the fullness of the earth is yours. All is held in love. And all is in divine order. And for that, we affirm and are grateful. And so it is.